It is good that we are able to gather here in this place today, a freedom that all Christians should have, a freedom that all Americans should have. And part of the reason that we are here is that we are pressing on toward the prize. You know, one of the first things that we learn through the natural avenues of growth and development is that there are things to be had. There are things to be attained if we can reach those things. In the case of an infant, and it's always interesting to watch this, it begins with their toes as they pull their feet toward them. I often think when I see an infant and they're able to just pull the toes right up in front of their face, I wish I could do that. But we get old and we get stiff and that sort of thing. They reach out their hands, they can grab their toes or, in fact, anything within reach. Eyeglasses have to be careful of those because babies will grab for those things. But imagine our frustration, their frustration, when they desire to touch their toes and can't get to them. And many of us have frustrations, those kind of frustrations, but for different reasons. But then as life continues, there are many prizes that are placed before the growing child. The process is teaching them to press toward the prize. It may be an award or something for something in school, or to be able to have the pride of being able to write their name, or letters and numbers, and that's how they learn. And as one determines to be an athlete or desires to be part of a team, they must press for the prize. People don't just all of a sudden become an athlete. They don't all of a sudden become proficient in one activity or another. In business, if one desires to advance, they have a prize toward which they will press. Oftentimes it's the next level or the next rung on the ladder, as it is said, as they press along toward success. That's just the way that things work in life. We needn't think that the athlete in a given sport got that way solely through natural ability and talent. There are those that seem to be able to naturally do it, don't have to work as hard as others, but they still have to work to remain at the top of their game, to continue to be able to perform at that top level. Or think about this. Did the boss just wake up one morning and show up at work and say, "Hey, I'm in charge"? It doesn't work that way. He had to begin somewhere, and he had to continue to work to press for the prize. Regardless of the endeavor, regardless of the path to reach the intended goal, one has to be pressing toward the prize. Now, we're not here today or any other day to discuss the prizes and the accolades of human triumph in this world, the things that people might attain in this world and of this world, and the various pursuits by which one gets there. We're here to talk about the only important prize. That is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's why our text is Philippians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 14. And as you'll open your Bibles there, we'll see that as the Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit to write to those brethren, he realized that he himself, as diligent as he was, as zealous as he was, as dedicated as he was, he had not yet attained that prize. The Spirit had him write these words beginning in verse 12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect or complete. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." He strove to always serve God. Because of that, he was often apprehended. He was often mistreated, and things occurred to him. In verse 13, we read, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." In other words, I know that I have not yet reached the goal. I know that I have not yet attained the prize. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. It's interesting to me that a lot of times people want to rest on the fact that they have achieved such and such and this and that. They one time were great at this sport or that sport. But that doesn't change where you're headed, where you're going. And so verse 14, we see the words, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to press toward the mark? It means that one must have determination, a decisive commitment. There are many, many areas in life in which we can have commitment. There are many areas in which life which we should be committed. But those who are children of God have made a commitment with God. They are in a covenant relationship with God, and they are to be dedicated. They are to be determined. They are to carry out that which they have promised to the God of all creation. In Acts chapter 11, in verses 28 through 30, we'll see the idea of determination. Now, we know that this is about them doing something that was within their power to do, with that which they had been blessed, the means by which to eat or purchase food or whatever the case may be. But in Acts chapter 11 and verses 28, and there stood up one of them named Agabus and signified by the Spirit that there should be a dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief. In other words, they decided, they made a commitment, and they determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. And we see how serious they were about that determination, about pressing toward what was right to do, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Paul. When we make a commitment to do something, we need to be determined to carry it out. Time and time again, and I see this more and more frequently, people say, I will call you back this week. Do not sit by the phone and wait for it to ring, because they won't call, or might not. And when you do talk to them, say, I thought you were going to call me last week. Well, I forgot, or this happened, or so-and-so came over, or whatever excuse they might very well offer. But determination must be there if we're going to press. And keep in mind, we're talking about the most important prize. If we're going to press toward heaven, we must have determination. We must be determined to fulfill the commitment that we made to God. Another thing that it means to press is to be diligent. What is diligence? In short, it's hard work. Working hard. All through my time as in construction, I heard it or even said it to people. We need to learn not to work as hard, but to work more smart. The whole focus was to get people to accomplish more. But hard work still had to be involved. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, we see as the Spirit had Peter write to these brethren, these who, as I understand, were scattered abroad or in various places, and he wrote to them, Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. People might say, well, hadn't they made their election sure when they obeyed the gospel? Of course they did. But notice what he's saying. Give diligence to make it sure. To maintain that assuredness. Strive and work. And then he said, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. The things that he had just previously laid out in the verses before that. Hard work is necessary. And we find it again to the same group of people a little later on in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. We know that we have been promised things. We know that we are to be looking for things. And we know that because we are looking for such things, we are to be diligent in our efforts to press toward the prize. He said, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We know from the context he's talking about at the end, when time is to be no more, when the judgment is imminent. He said, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We know that it's not going to be a physical sphere such as this one is. This one is going to be burned up. But he said, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. What is he saying? He says, we've laid out the prize. God in his word has told you what the benefit is, what the prize is, what the reward is. And if you're looking for those things, be diligent. Be diligent in your service to God. Be diligent in your worship. Be diligent in your life. And continue to press toward the prize. Going right along with that is perseverance. Never give up. One of the cutest cartoons I've ever seen was a stork who had swallowed a frog. And in that stork's beak, you see protruding out of it the arms and the legs of the frog, and they have the little lines on either side of the legs because the legs are kicking, but the arms of the frog are around the neck of the stork. And down below it simply says, never give up. You could figure, boy, it's over now. I'm almost in the throat here. What did he do? He held on for dear life. Perseverance. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul here, directed by the Spirit, writing to the brethren there in Ephesus, those who had already made some attempt to receive that prize. They had been baptized into Christ, or they wouldn't be brethren. They were children of God. They were those who needed this instruction. But he said to them there, as the Spirit directed, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, notice, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In other words, don't give up. You know, at times it looks bleak. And we look out upon the religious world today. And we look out about, when I say that, I mean relative to the church. We see that it is very bleak. I'm hearing from many, many different places where congregations are failing to meet. Sometimes out of fear. And some people have given up. Years ago, we had a conversation with a person. And he was distraught. And he pointed out that it was seemed to be hopeless. He was reminded of the fact there's no place to get off. Because if you quit, there is no prize. There is no reward. There's only punishment for eternity. We have to persevere. We can never give up, and so we have to continue to press. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Again, the Apostle Paul, this time writing as directed by the Spirit to the churches or the congregations in Galatia, he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We've got to continue on. We've got to press on. And in so doing, we are working ever so closer to receiving that prize, to being provided the reward that has been promised if we are faithful and if we continue. And that's the message to the whole letter of the book of Hebrews. We won't go into every chapter or every point where this is. Press forward. Don't go backward. Those people were being told to continue in the faith because where they were being enticed to go was away from the faith, back into bondage. They have to persevere to the end to receive that prize. Sadly, some simply don't choose to have what it takes to receive that prize. They don't have what it takes to press. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 20, we see that in the parable that Jesus spoke, some allow other things to take precedent in their life. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside, the hard soil, the hard heart, if you will. Verse 20 says, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. It sprang up. There was evidence that they had received, that they had done what was necessary to begin to work toward the prize. But because of lack of root, they couldn't continue. Because the next phrase says, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by, he is offended. He no longer presses on. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. We see it so many times where the cares of life choke out the word. That is hard to grasp, because the care of this life should be pressing toward the prize. That's what this life is all about. That's why we've been granted time on this earth, so that we might press toward the prize, prepare ourselves, and while we're doing so, help others prepare. Verse 23 speaks of those who do so. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that receiveth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. How then do we press toward the prize? First and foremost, we must realize that God is our strength. Now, God's not going to do the work for you. Don't get me wrong. God is not going to say, well, you have obeyed the gospel, and so all you got to do now is just wait until the end. That's not what I mean. God can work in us what is well-pleasing in his sight. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21, we see that we have a definite part in that. We must strive, and we can use the strength that we find in the Word of God for that. Now, the God of peace that brought you again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of his everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. What is the will of God? The will of God is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How is that message to be spread? Through those who are God's children. We, those of us who are pressing to the prize, should live and act so that people say, what is it you're after? And maybe we can tell them and show them in the Word of God, working in you that which is well-pleasing in sight through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. We also see in Jude verses 24 and 25 that we have strength in God and in Christ. As Jude is directed to write in that general epistle, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Notice, to him that is able to keep you from falling. How does God keep us from falling? Through his word. When we read his word, we not only see how we can have strength in God, but we also are reminded constantly of that prize, that reward that is beyond this life, and that can only be attained if we press on. Oh yes, it's been provided by Jesus Christ, but not everybody is going to receive that prize. Those who do not press toward the prize, those who do not avail themselves the strength of God, will not receive that prize. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19 that God is faithful. You know, you cannot ever count on man. You cannot always count on even loved ones or friends or family. But you can always count on God. That's what Peter was directed to write. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. God is faithful. He's made a promise. He had the plan that goes along with the promise, that provides access to the promise, and he is faithful. We say, well, what happens if people take my life for serving God? That's when you win. Because there will be no more suffering. There will be no more pain. There will be no more discomfort in your body because you have left your body. But you will have won. And God is faithful. And we find this several different times. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3 is another place where the same apostle, the Apostle Paul, was directed to write to those people in Thessalonica. But notice he said, but the Lord is faithful. You can always count on God. In this case, what was he going to do? Who shall establish you? He shall make you strong. There again, how does he make us strong? Through the word. If we don't receive the word, if we don't take the word in, we're not going to remain strong. It also says, and keep you from evil. How's he going to do that? It's the same way. If we take the word in, we read it, we study it, we put it in our minds are renewed daily by the word of God, we will not only be stronger, but we'll also be kept from evil. And the prize is always out there, waiting. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. God is faithful. It tells us, for he is faithful that promised. He set the example for us. He's faithful. He's provided. Stop and think about it. He promised to Abraham that his seed would possess a certain piece of ground. And there were those who perhaps thought, you know, this is never going to happen. We're in bondage. We're wandering in the wilderness. When, in fact, they got the chance to go and look on that promised land, what? 7/8 of the people said, it's too hard. It's too difficult. But God is faithful. And God will help us to do whatever he expects us to do. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. A passage that has been so misaligned down through the years. I've heard people say, well, you know, the Lord says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, friends, if you're not in Christ, you're not going to be strengthened. If you're not in the word of God, you're not going to be strengthened. And things do not go in accordance to our will. We're not going to be strengthened in our will. The all things he was talking about there was being able to carry out the will of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, often called the honor roll of the faithful. I'm going to just look at verses 32 through 34. This is in addition to all the rest that were mentioned that were on the honor roll of the faithful. We will see that they derive strength from God, courage from God. What did they do? Notice what the penman was directed to write. These were things from Israel's history. Things that they could go back and from a secular standpoint, go look up. It says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Notice this. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Why? Because they were receiving strength from God. Why were they receiving strength from God? Because they were doing what God wanted them to do. They were following the law of God to the Israel. That meant the Old Testament law. These people were faithful servants of God, and God was their strength. Oftentimes, we think about the daily grind, the hardships that we endure day by day. As you turn with me to Romans chapter 2 and verse 7, I think every family has this story of a parent or a grandparent who had it tougher than you did. I never did figure out how that my dad, being raised in South Carolina, walked uphill anywhere, because he was toward the coast of South Carolina. But somehow he ended up walking 5 miles through the snow uphill. And we used to always say, both ways. First and foremost, there are not many hills at all in that part of South Carolina. Secondly, there was no way in the world he walked 5 miles to school. And thirdly, it hardly ever snows there. But the point was, we've had it tough. We've had it rough. Today, we think we have it tough. We have it rough. We think, well, we have all of these things going on right now. We have all of the things which cause us to be discouraged, to cause us to be down. That's no excuse. We need to be thankful for the daily grind. The daily grind helps us to see opportunities. in Romans chapter 2 and verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Friends, that's the prize. Eternal life, immortality. But how do we get there? By patient continuance in well-doing. And you say, well, you know, other people aren't doing it. You will not be judged for other people. And thank God, other people won't be judged for you. Opportunities abound in the daily grind. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul oftentimes found himself in bonds. He found himself mistreated. He found himself having been beaten or cast in prison. And when he prayed, notice his prayer. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which also, or which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. We were studying in Acts chapter 16 this morning and talking about the Philippian jailer. A horrible, horrible situation. But one which, as soon as the opportunity presented itself, what did Paul do? He preached the word of God. Why? Because he was aware of that prize. And he was pressing toward that prize. And he wanted that jailer to also have access to that prize. And we want you to have access to that prize. But you're going to have to obey the gospel, and you're going to have to remain faithful. Because Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23 says, for if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Notice what he said. If ye continue in the faith, if you're grounded and settled, if you're not moved away from the hope of the gospel, you can have that prize. But there are some things that are necessary. Training is crucial. We talked about athletes. Athletes receive the level of expertise because of training, because of striving to get there. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, we see that the Apostle Paul was directed to write to this young preacher, Timothy. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use. That's a great phrase there. Many sermons have been preached on just that phrase, meet or suitable for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. They had to be trained. Nobody decides to be a preacher and then all of a sudden just jumps up in the pulpit and starts speaking. Preparation must happen. Even while Jesus was here, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, he was talking to those people, those that were following him then. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And then he pointed out, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We've got to continue to train ourselves, to dedicate ourselves, to commit ourselves, so that we might receive that promise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, we see the Apostle Paul directed to write and put it into a scenario that they could grasp, that they could understand. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. In other words, if you don't become part of the race, forget the prize. You're not going to get it. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. In other words, they prepare themselves. They train themselves. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, talking about the races and the prize, perhaps in the games that eventually became the Olympics. He said, but we, an incorruptible. What is the prize that we are striving for, pressing for? It is immortality, eternal life. And then, verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Notice what he did. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He continued to pray. press toward the prize. Lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. We need to think just because a person is the one preaching the gospel that he's got it made. No, the preacher and everybody in the pew has the same goal, has the same means by which to attain that goal, and the same opportunity to press toward the prize. Never give up. We've mentioned that already. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, we find the Apostle Peter writing in that general epistle, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Notice that he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Again, another excellent example. Christ came to do the will of God. We should be striving to do the will of God. The will of God is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Therefore, we should do what we need to do in accordance to the word of God, that we not perish, that we began at that point to press toward the prize, and then continually doing it. But we must have direction. Nobody achieves success in anything without some sort of direction, some sort of guidance, some sort of way of knowing which way to go. We return at this time to our text, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Notice, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Those things which are behind help shape you, but they can't get you to where you need to go. You've got to have direction. Notice the direction. Reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, proper instruction keeps us going the right direction. If we have the right instruction. Somebody was talking this morning about getting lost in Mooresville. And I'm terrible about directions. If somebody were to call me today and say, 5 minutes before sermon or services, and say that we're in the area and we're trying to find the building, I'm going to hand my phone off to one of you other folks because I will get them lost. And that person said, "I have to plug in my GPS. But that's direction, isn't it? It tells you how to get from point A to point B. We've got to have that direction. Instruction keeps us going in the right direction. Indeed, if you have GPS in your vehicle or your phone and you put it on your dash and you're watching it and everything, and it tells you turn left right here. I guess that didn't sound right, did it? Turn left here, not turn left right here. Turn left here, and you turn right, it's liable to say redirecting, and then rerouting. Is constantly giving you updated instruction. The Word of God does the same thing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. As the Apostle Paul wrote what the Spirit gave him to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There's your direction right there. How do I do what God wants me to do? Well, it's right there. In the Word of God. Why? That the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works. There's no excuse for missing the prize. Matter of fact, the only reason that people don't receive the prize is they don't press for it. They don't work for it. Time and time again, I've had to talk with people. And invariably they'll say, I just don't know why I can't get ahead. In areas of work or their particular financial situation, what are you doing to try to get ahead? And then all of a sudden we see the floodgate of excuses opening. why they can't do this, why they can't do that. The same thing is true in the religious realm. People say, well, I just can't seem to keep focused. What are you not doing that prevents you, or what are you doing that prevents you from being focused or remaining focused, or what are you not doing that would help you to be focused and remain focused? The prize is there. You have to reach for it. The question then is this morning, have you begun to press for the prize? Only you can answer that question. Another question, do you as a Christian continue to press toward the prize? If you're not determined, and you're not diligent, and you're not persevering, you're not pressing, you're not striving. If the honest answer is no to either of these questions, God has provided the remedy. He's provided the instruction. He's provided the direction. He's provided the motivation. Oftentimes, people say, well, you shouldn't preach on hell and the fact that people are going to go there, because hell is not a motivation for salvation. I disagree with that 100%. If you do this, you're going to suffer that. That ought to be proper instruction for anyone. No, none should obey the gospel solely out of fear of going to hell. You should obey the gospel because you love God, because you want that reward that He has promised in His Word. But you have to know how to be obedient. In God's Word, He has directed us how one can become His child. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, we see, even though this was written to Christians, that hearing is a big part of it. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You must hear the word. If you don't do the word after having heard it, you've deceived yourselves. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we see that belief or faith is part of it. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Again, there's that prize. It's always there in the Word of God. The prize is there, and here's how you get it. Having heard and believed, a person then must repent. You cannot continue living that old life. And people say, well, you know, I'm not such a bad person. I'm not a wicked and evil person. You don't have to be wicked. You don't have to be evil. You don't have to be a criminal with your picture on the post office wall. You simply have to ignore what God said to do, and you're in the category of the wicked and the lost. But you've got to come away from that. You've got to turn away from that. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, but showed first unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem and all throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Also, one must confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as Luke 12:8 shows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And 1 Peter 3:21 clearly directs for one to begin to press for that prize. To become a child of God, they must be baptized. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. The like figure wherein even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know no reason whatsoever why a person who has not obeyed the gospel will not be baptized. In fact, you may or may not have noticed that baptistry is clean. It was drained. It was scrubbed. New filters are in. What a better time to be baptized into Christ. But the reason would be to become a child of God. Having done this, a person then, every one of us, are to remain faithful unto God. The church at Smyrna was told about the suffering and the persecution they were going to have. And yes, there was an immediate application relative to their situation. But notice what he told them about that reward and how they would receive that reward. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The question this morning is, do you want that crown of life? Do you want that prize? Are you willing to obey God, become His child, and then diligently serve Him for the rest of your life? I know some people say, well, you know, I've got plenty of time. You don't know that. We hope you have time. But what a better way to spend our time on this life than serving God? Perhaps as a child of God, you've not continued to press toward the prize. Perhaps you've allowed yourself to slip into a status of stagnation. Then you're not pressing toward the prize. And friends, it's beyond your grasp right now. But that too can be changed. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 through 26, notice that Timothy was given instruction by the Spirit through the pen of Paul, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. People that have taken themselves out of the running for the prize, they oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Repentance is absolutely necessary. That person is already a child of God and will forever be. However, they are an erring child of God, and because of that, that puts them in the category of the lost. And verse 26 tells us that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. It's yours for the taking, folks. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we ask that you do so today. If you have obeyed the gospel and have you allowed yourself to stumble and fall and to get back in sin and be entangled therein, you need to make sure that that situation is corrected today. The question that perhaps you'll be asked at the judgment, but we don't know exactly how the judgment is and how it's set up, but consider, if you will, did you continually press for the prize? What will your answer be? That's our hymn of invitation. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.